to Judges chapter 6. About 3 weeks ago, God laid this scripture on my heart as I was studying for chapel, actually, for Lighthouse Baptist or Lighthouse Christian Academy. And God laid this section of scriptures on my heart. And little did I know how much that this scripture would be needed in my life, my family's life. And not only that, but just what a blessing it is to me to study this and to know that God knew what I needed before I even needed it. And what an opportunity this morning. I just want to share what God has given me out of this little section of scriptures. And, you know, we know the story of Gideon, and we all know the fleece and how that he laid the fleece down. And he said, you know, God, if you want me to lead this army, he said, I want you to put the dew around the fleece and leave the fleece dry. And then later he came back the next night and make the fleece wet and then the rest of the ground dry. We know that he did that. I might have got that backwards. I'm not sure. But he did that, and God did that. And so we all know the story of the fleece, right? And we all know the story of the men kneeling down at the brook and some picking the water up and doing this and then some guys drinking, and then he eliminated some of those 32,000 men down to 300, and how God did a great victory with that. But we never really hear the before story, right? And my wife told me to stop saying, and you know, assuming everybody knows. And so I hope you know the story of Gideon, and you probably do. And for those that don't, that's the story that we all hear about the fleece and about the men and about the victory. But there's a story prior to that. As Paul Harvey says, we want to look at the rest of the story. And so the title for this morning's message is From Garbage to Greatness. From garbage to greatness. You ever wake up some mornings and just feel like garbage? Just feel like, oh, life is just overwhelming, right? I don't feel right. I don't feel good. I don't feel like anybody likes me. I don't feel like anybody cares. I don't feel like I'm healthy enough. I don't feel like I'm wealthy enough. You ever feel like that? Anybody else want to be honest with me this morning? Amen. We all go through periods of times like that, right? We find Gideon in a place where he feels like that in his life. He feels like garbage. He feels unuseful to the Lord. And so let's look this morning, as we look at these scriptures, let's look at the problem in Israel, God's person, and then how that Gideon finds success in his insecurity, and then God uses him to the greatness. Notice with me there, the very first thing we want to look at is the problem in Israel. Chapter 6, verse 1. Let's read this and then we'll have a word of prayer. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity to gather with your people in your house. And Lord, listen to the songs and listen to the prayer request and the announcements. And Lord, we just thank you for that. Lord, I just ask that you'd help us as we look at these scriptures and we unpack them and we look and see what God has for us in this. And Lord, I just thank you that you help me in this. And Lord, I just ask that you might take the scriptures and Lord, that you might help someone else through this. And Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You notice that in verse 1, we see a problem in Israel. We have the nation of Israel, the book of Judges. There's 13 judges. This is prior to the king's period in Israel. And God used judges to bring correction in the land of Israel. And 13 times, we see that God raises up a judge. Gideon is the fifth judge. We just got through from Deborah being a judge, and they had 40 years of peace in the land of Israel. And then the Bible says in verse 1, he says, and the children did evil in the sight of the Lord. The book of Judges is a back and forth. It reminds me of a weeble. You guys remember a long time ago when you were kids, and maybe weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. It seems like that the nation of Israel, they fall over. They did evil in the sight of the Lord, and then at some period of time, God raises up a judge and they correct. And it just seems like it's back and forth. And you hit that weeble and it goes boing, boing, boing like that. You guys remember that? Amen. And you know, oftentimes this reminds me of my life. You know, there's times of falling down. There's times of correction. And God brings a time where there's a problem in Israel. And they've done evil in the sight of the Lord. And they've fallen over. And it says there that he delivered them into the hand of Midian. So God brings persecution. We know in the book of Hebrews, we see those whom God loves, he chastens, right? And God loves Israel. He loves them enough to bring chastisement into their life. He does the same for us, that he loves us. He's going to allow some things to come into our life to kind of wake us up. Amen? Amen. We all agree with that. Amen. And so the problem in Israel was not necessarily the Midianites. It was the evil that the children of Israel were doing. You know, most of our problems that we have in our life stem from our sinful nature. Amen. It stems from things that we do, not necessarily outside influences, although outside influences can come. But however, most of our problems originate from within us. That's a hard one to swallow. And you notice there that this was a post-God-fearing society. Sound familiar? This was, Israel was they were in a period where they had 40 years of peace, and then they did evil in the sight of God. God brings in persecution and oppression for 7 years. Why? Because this was a post-God-fearing society. They had left the God of their fathers, and they went after looking after other gods. The Bible uses the word whoring after other gods. And they went their own way. They went with their own thoughts. They went with their own projection of how things should be. They went with their own selfish fleshly desires. I feel like I'm reading the newspaper and the headlines of America today. And that's what our country is. Our country used to be a God-fearing country. So we could go on and on about that. And notice in verse 2, it says there, the enemy prevailed against Israel. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because the Midianites... And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them, notice this, dens, which are in the mountains, and caves and strongholds. You notice that the people hid themselves from the persecution. I mean, they went into the mountains and they hid themselves and they made dens and they made themselves strongholds. They ran into the caves. They hid because of the persecution. And it's amazing to me that, you know, today we have a whole society that are hiding in their homes because of a pandemic. And I understand some of the health concerns, and we need to take care of our elderly people. Amen. And we need to make sure that we're doing our best. But however, I think that as a society, we have left the things of God and we have went and hid ourselves. We've lost purpose of what God has given us. And Gideon was one of those people. And I want to notice what he says there. But let's look at the prophet before we do that. Notice in verse 8. This is a nameless prophet. And it says there in verse 8, and the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord of God of Israel, I have brought you up out of Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. The wonderful thing about God, he's always going to give us his word. Amen. He's always going to give us some interjection to our life. And he oftentimes, I know in my life, he's brought men and women by to just drop a little message that God has given me about correction or about how good God's been. But this prophet, he's never named in the scripture, but he comes and he says that God has been so good to you and has blessed you. And then later at the very end, he says, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Very plain, very clear that ye have not obeyed. The problem in Israel was Israel itself. The problem of Israel is that they walked away from God. This may or may not be our problem, but generally it is in my life. And I only know this because I'm pointing four at me, amen? And because this is often when I have issues in life, it's because I have walked away from God. I have stopped reading my Bible. I have stopped fellowshipping with Christians. More importantly, I've stopped doing what He has purposed in my life for me to do. I got to thinking about this week, and I got to thinking about the Navajo mission work. And you know, it's been quite a struggle since March, the end of March, not being on the reservation. I feel a little lost. I feel a little inadequate. I don't know, many of you probably have not preached to an iPhone, but I'm tired of preaching to an iPhone, amen? And I'm tired of not having flesh and blood to be able to speak to. It's a little bit hard. And you kind of find it easy to lose your way when you lose purpose, right? And I find that me and Danielle was talking about, you know, the kids in our society and how that they are, I'm trying not to get too close to you guys, amen? And the kids in our society, and they're all over the place, and they're in trouble, and they have problems. And guess what? It doesn't have to be some other outside influence. You know, we were born with a sin nature, and that sin nature inside of us, a child left to itself, will find evil. It's just the way it is. You as a Christian, by yourself, can find evil without any outside influences in this world. And let me tell you, so if you don't have a purpose, and a lot of our kids, they sit in front of a video game, amen? They sit and they do other things. However, the kids are not alone. Us as an adults sometimes lose purpose because we're not doing what God calls us to do. He didn't just call us to read the Bible. He did call us to do that. He didn't just call us to attend church. He didn't just call us to engage in songs and psalms and worship to Him. He called us to be a witness. Hard to be a witness when everybody's in the rocks and the caves and the dens and in the strongholds and they're hiding themselves. Nevertheless, He still called us to do that. Amen? And we have somewhat in this pandemic lost our purpose. Guess what? Every purpose, everything that Lighthouse Baptist Church does, from the songs, from the bus route, from the Christian school, from the small groups, to the singing in here, to the welcome desk, to the cards getting mailed out, the one single focus and the purpose of Lighthouse Baptist Church and us as Christians is to win other people to the Lord. The one single focus in everything that we do should have the stream and the line and the very focus point of leading others to the Lord. I submit to you this morning, the major problem, the reason we lose focus, is we're not completing our purpose. We're not completing our purpose. And when we don't complete our purpose, we start wandering. We're just kind of all over the place. Amen? That's good. Amen? Amen. And so Gideon is there and he's in this society. And we know that the problems they have. But now let's look at the person in chapter 6, verse 12. And it says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him. Now, this is God to Gideon. The Lord be with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And so he comes up and he says, hey, you mighty man of valor. And, you know, it's kind of like Brother Wilson back there, he says he's the great white hunter. I'm like, me? You know, is it me? Are you talking about me? And so Gideon is there. God shows up, and I'm getting excited about this if you can't tell, but God shows up and he says, hey, Gideon, hey, mighty man of valor. Gideon goes, you talking to me? You ever have those days when someone thinks more of you than you think of yourself? Huh? Right? Amen? Me? You talking to me? That's what Gideon was thinking in his mind. And he says, let's look at how he was feeling about himself. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, it says this, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, oftentimes we think ill about ourselves. Amen? I'm not good enough. Anyone ever tell them that? Someone asks you to sing a special and you're like, I am not good enough to get up in front of the church. Someone asks you to do announcements and you're like, no, not me, not me. Someone asks you to go witness to somebody. Oh, I am not good at witnessing. Anyone ever said that to themselves? Amen. Oh, what are they going to think about me? You know, they know what I've done. Huh? Huh? Amen. We don't think we're healthy enough. We're like, well, right? Oh, church, I just don't feel like it. Amen? I'm just being honest. Preachers have the same thoughts you have. We're not super spiritual. And so sometimes we really get down on ourselves. We really start thinking bad about ourselves. And we really start thinking we're inadequate. And you know what? You know, the person that thinks the worst about you is probably you. I hate to break that to you. Maybe you already know that. But we get inside of our own mind. You know, we used to blame the devil all the time. But as I've matured, I realize it's probably me more than the devil allowing those things to come into my life, into my mind. And I tell myself, you know what? You're not good enough to do that. You're not adequate enough to do that. You know, Gideon was telling himself, look at some of the things we'll notice. And so as you think in your mind, that's what you become, and you project that in your life. And he was doing that. In verse 14, he felt forsaken. And the Lord, verse 13, excuse me. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us. You know, Gideon felt forsaken in his life. He says, if the Lord is with us, if you're really calling me out, a man of valor, and you're really talking to me, why is all this befallen us? Has any of us ever asked ourselves that question? God, if you're really for me, if you're really on my side, why is all this taking place in my life? Anyone else been there? We're not super spiritual this morning. We're down where the rubber meets the road. Amen? We're in the reality stage that we are looking at ourselves and we are asking God from an honest and pure heart, God, if you're really for me, why is all this taking place in our country? Why is all this taking place in my family? Why is all this taking place in my life? God, where is your presence on my life? See, Gideon woke up and the first thought he said is, I think that I'm forsaken. Amen. And we look across our great country in our churches and we say, God, how is this your will? God, how is this going to play out in my life? Amen. And Gideon felt like that. Not only he felt forsaken, but in verse 15, he felt poor. And he said unto, in verse 15, he said unto him, O my Lord, where shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor. Anyone ever thought that I can't do much? I can barely make ends meet with what I have. Amen? I think about that widow woman at the temple and Jesus and the disciples there watching. And, you know, the Pharisees are there and they're jangling their change and they're throwing it in. And she very quietly just walks up and puts what she had in there. And I just think about that and what a great example that is to us. And you know, we don't maybe have a lot, but that little widow woman, she gave all she had. She put it all in there, amen? For she had gave more than anyone else, amen? Let me tell you, you have something to offer for God. Maybe not financially. Poor Gideon, he said, you know what? Out of all the people here, he said, my family's hiding in the rocks and the dens, and we've not been able to have a living. I don't even have any money. I'm the poor people. Huh? You ever felt like that? I would serve the Lord, but I'm not financially able. You know, there's a correction there that it's just the opposite. You can't afford not to tithe. Amen. That's a lesson that's in a different message, but let me tell you, that's where the blessings of God is financially in your life if you learn how to tithe. And there's freedom in that. Not only that, but later on in that verse, he felt finite. He said, I am the least in my father's house. So he went that our nation is forsaken. And then you notice he went to my family's poor, And then he said, not only my family, but me, myself, I'm the least in my father's house. So the country, the family, and me. I'm out of all my brothers and sisters, I'm the last one you want, Lord, because I'm the least. When they handed out the good looks, I got the bottom of the barrel. When they handed out the muscles, I was not the guy. It was my brothers that were stronger. Amen. When it come to wit, my brothers has it. When it come to speaking to people, my older brothers had that, not me. I'm the last one that you want, Lord. You see how Gideon was feeling? In this story, this is Gideon. And we see the great victory, but we don't hear the rest of the story. I can relate with Gideon now, right? I can relate that there's often times that I'm feeling like this. I'm feeling bad. I'm feeling insignificant. I'm feeling poor. I'm feeling forsaken. And not only that, but he felt outnumbered. It says there in chapter 8, verse 10, I think. No, I forgot to write that down. I'm sorry. It says there in verse 12 of chapter 7, and the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children lay of the east lay along the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number. And later on it talks about that, but there's 135,000 Midianites and Amorites against Israel. Man, you ever felt outnumbered? In this country, you ever felt outnumbered? I think about, you know, the Christian and living in a post godly society, and it's less and less. You know, I go to work and I work in Durango and I feel the outnumbered. But you know, if God be for us, who can be against us? Isn't that what the Bible says? When you have God on your side, if you're one, you outnumber the majority. Amen. And so this is how Gideon was feeling about himself. Can we all relate at some point in time in our life with Gideon? Man, our thoughts take over. Our fears take over. And we begin to tell ourselves we don't measure up. You know what? That's what the devil wants in your life. He wants you to be self-defeated, that you don't do anything for God. And that's where Gideon was standing. He was standing, he says, you talking to me? Are you really, did you really think about what you were doing when you called me called me to lead the armies of Israel? He was saying, No, it's not me, Lord. No, I feel like this. You know what, how God felt about Gideon? Notice in verse 12, he says, oh, thou mighty man of valor. Do you know God thinks more about you than you think about yourself? Amen? We ought to be excited about that, amen? You know what some of the most influential people in my life have been? It's been people that thought more of me than I thought of myself. Huh? You can do this, amen? I see what God has in it for you, and you are adequate, amen? We need more people standing alongside of you saying, you got this, amen? I know that you're a mighty man of valor. I know that you have strength and courage in battle. What that means is valor. I know you can do this. I've seen how God used you, amen? I've seen what God can do in and through you. We need more people like that, amen? I want to be more like that for everybody, amen? I want to say, yeah, Brother Jerry, you can do it, man. You can do it, right? You can win that person to the Lord. We all have people in our life where we're like, well, they'll never get saved. Right? Amen? Huh? If God be for us, who can be against us? Huh? Right? Out there on the reservation, there's always the people that get involved in sin through alcohol. And our church people are like, well, they'll never get saved. They're wrapped up. Well, you know what? God's the great freer of sin in our life. When he saves you, he saves you all over. He creates a new person inside of you. And it's amazing to me. But here we find that Gideon is there, and God thinks a lot of him, and he calls him mighty man of valor, and he's excited. Turn with me over to 2 Corinthians. This is getting exciting, right? You guys got another hour or so, right? Amen. And over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, notice there in verses 1 through 7. This is us getting rid of some of those thoughts. And it says, let's just start in verse 3. He says, "For we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." And so there were some that was saying that Paul had walked in the flesh and that he was doing his Christian work in the flesh, but that's not true, amen? We cannot do anything. The flesh cannot please God, amen? Verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down the imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity the thought to the obedience of Christ." And so there's a warfare about our thoughts, and God's wanting us to bring in captivity how we think, amen? And how God thinks about us. And we're casting down those imaginations, and we're casting down those thoughts, and we're going to pick up how God really feels about me and feels about you, amen? And it says, verse 6, "And having in the readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Something occurred to me this morning that the revenge for disobedience, listen, this is great, this is in God's word, the revenge for disobedience is obedience. Now that sounds simple, but that's an amazing thought and a principle as a Christian. If you will learn this, disobedience, to revenge that, to make it right, is to be obedient. Huh? That's good. How do we become obedient? We need to do what God wants us to do, amen? We need to find the purpose. We need to find the thoughts that God thinks about us and revert the disobedient thoughts and get that corrected in our mind, amen? How does God really think about you? He thinks about you so much that He gave His only begotten Son to die on the cross for you. Where you're at, who you are, what you've done wrong, that means He thinks a lot about you. I can tell you this, that there's not a man, a woman, a boy, or child that I would give those three youngins up for in this room tonight, this morning, whatever time it is. Amen? None. None of you. I love you guys. You're great people. But I wouldn't trade those three, one or all of them, for any of you. But God thought so much of you that He took His only begotten Son and He took Him out of heaven and placed Him on this earth. And He allowed Him to go to a cross of Calvary and die for you. You in particular, not you in general, but you in particular, put your name there. That's how much He thinks about me and you. That's pretty awesome. So when Gideon says, "You're talking to me?" Yeah. He says, "Thou mighty man of valor." And when God thinks about you, He thinks about great thoughts. He doesn't remember all the times you failed. Amen? Praise God for that. Amen? When we're forgiven, we're forgiven. You know, humans, we look at people and we're like, "Oh, I can remember when you failed." You know, God doesn't look down from heaven and says, "Berta, I remember last week." Huh? Thank God, amen. When it's covered under the blood, it's covered under the blood. And that is some kind of freedom, amen. And I'm not saying it's a license to sin. Praise the Lord for that too, amen. There still needs to be some forgiveness of sin and asking for that. However, He thinks a lot about us. Moving on, and there's so much more there, and I have some more scriptures written down that we could look at. But moving on, let's go to Gideon finding purpose. Now let's go back to the book of Judges. Gideon, we find him in the state that there's a problem in Israel. We find the person that God has called in Gideon. We find that he didn't think a lot of himself, but God did. Now let's look at Gideon finding purpose in God's calling. Notice in verse 14 of chapter 6, "And the Lord looked upon him and said, 'Go in thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? Notice that there was a purpose for Gideon's life. That purpose was God's calling on his life. God called Gideon to a purpose. You know, for us as Christians, God has called each one of us for a purpose in his work. Amen? That was very quiet. I'm going to try that one more time. Do you know that in God's work, he's called each one of you for a purpose? There we go. Amen. Agreement. Amen. Every one of us has a unique purpose. And oh, if we were to look over to the book of Ephesians, we find in chapter 4 that he takes and he has placed some in the church. Amen. I'm going to read that for you. Ephesians chapter 4 in verses 11. Through 14, and he gave some prophets or some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, till we all come together in unity of faith and the knowledge in the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by every sleight of man, by our cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait and deceive. You know that God has a calling on your life. He set you in the church for a purpose. Amen. And we could look in more places in the scripture where he talks about the church like a body, and that the more uncomely parts are necessary, and the hand cannot say, I'm not of the body, and all those things. But he has given you a purpose in the church. He's given you some direct purpose. We know that we're supposed to, we're called to get saved. We're called to be baptized. We're called to evangelize. And then there's some more of those distinctive purposes that God has called upon your life. Me personally, he's called me to be a missionary. Amen. Brother Wilson, he's called to be a preacher and a pastor. And God has specific callings on people's life. And to not know your purpose in the church is to be lost in the ministry. You need to find your purpose, because with purpose becomes resolve, and purpose becomes drive, and drive becomes contentment, and we'll not judge ourselves among ourselves. And purpose gives us a direction in life. Gideon found his purpose in the calling of God. Now, I can't call you where God wants you to be. Only you can be attentive to what God wants you to do. Amen. I can't go back and say, Brother Ken, this is what God wants you to do. Now, there's some direct things in the Bible I can say that, amen? But there's some indirect things that God calls us to, like what college you want to go to. I can't tell anybody that. I cannot tell anybody. But I believe that God has specific colleges for people to go to. Trenton has believed that his Texas Bible Institute, he's down there. Well, it's our oldest son. And I can't do that. I'm not the Holy Spirit. As much as I'd like to be, I'm not. Amen? But there are those things where you're going to have to find the Bible, and you're going to have to find some time and read it and pray and ask God, what do you want me to do? Amen? What do you want me to be doing? All the things you know that you should, that's directly in the will of God. Amen? And then those unknown wills of God, find those and do those. Amen? Gideon was listening to God, and God said, "Thou mighty man of valor, who, me?" He said, "Yeah, you." He said, "I got a calling for you. I want you to go save Israel." All right, I'm going to put you to the test, amen? I'm going to lay down this fleece. We talked about that earlier, right? Now, we've been taught in our lives to never question God, right? Hold on now. Gideon did. Now, I would never question God about salvation. I would never question God about baptism. The known things that you know that are 100% the will of God. But it's okay. God, do you want me to be a Navajo missionary? I remember sitting at King Machine Shop, and I was there running an old Kearney Trekker, and I was putting this weld seam on this inch and a half plate, and it was about 24 inches long, and that machine just chunk, 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 running. I'm sitting there waiting for it to get done, and I feel that God on my heart is wanting me to surrender to the Navajo missions. And I'm arguing with God. No, God, not me. I'm a machinist. I like doing this. See those chips flying? Amen. I'll go out once a summer and take a group out there and we'll evangelize. And God says, no, I want you there all the time. Well, God, that is a long ways away from my family. My dad and mom are not going to want to lose their grandchildren. In fact, I don't think Danielle's parents are still okay with me taking them to Colorado. Pretty sure. But you know what? Again and again and again, in many small ways, God made his calling sure to me that that's where he wanted me. Gideon chose a fleece. Now, guys, don't go home and lay a fleece on the ground tonight, okay? Amen. But I think we should pray and we should read and we should allow God to work in our hearts. And that small, still voice that speaks to us, God can answer that prayer for you. Amen. At first, it became a burden in my life for the Navajo people. But the burden changed from a burden. See, burdens burn out. Amen. Burdens burn out, but callings do not burn out. And he changed that burden for the Navajo people from me being very emotionally worked up about their plight and their situation and nobody preaching the gospel to a calling. And he made that calling sure in many small ways. And he made that stable in my life. And he made that stable in my family's life through my wife and through me. And our children were okay with it. And God provided a way. I'll never forget driving away from Sullivan, Missouri with $400 a month support on us. And I was thinking, God, how is it possible? How is it probable? And yet he supplied all of our needs all the way through, more abundantly than I could ever imagine or ever think. Amen. And he's done that for Gideon. There was that calling on Gideon's life. And later on, we see the blessing of the fleece and how he answered that. And then God's chosen men. Over there in chapter 7, we see that he started out with 32,000 men. Gideon had 32,000 men. Feeling pretty confident about going into battle. And God goes down and he said, I tell you what, I want you to go down and I want you to take so many men and get rid of them. And then they went down to the brook and they said, all right, every man that lappeth up the water in their hands and drank, those are the ones that I want you to use in the battle. Remember, there's 135,000 enemy, 32,000 men. He's still outnumbered, right? God whittles it down to 300. To just to 300 men. Could you imagine, Brother Jerry, if I said, hey, let's go to battle. Me and you, Brother Jerry, we're going to go out to war, and there's going to be, 20, 25,000 of them. Jerry be like, I'm staying here with Berta. But see, God leads us into places to where we can only claim that it was God's power and God's victory. And it was all of God's doing. And you know what? In my life, I can testify that coming out here for $400 a month support, bringing me and my wife and three kids at the time, and driving out here and moving out here, I can only say it was in the power of God. It's only His power. And His calling and might was sure. And we know they win the victory and they kill 115,000 of those and they drove them and they won the victory that day because of the power of God in our life. See, Gideon thought he was garbage and God took what we think of ourselves and turns it into greatness. I want to assure you this morning that God's got some great things for you in your life. I don't know what they are. But find that purpose in your life. And that purpose will become resolve. And at the end of the day, when it looks impossible, when it looks improbable that God can put something back together that was broken and God took something that was destroyed and built it back together again and God did something out of nothing and made something great out of it, you can say there is all of God. Amen. See, God's in the business of taking things that seem impossible and making it possible. Amen. It is amazing. We need to find purpose. We need to allow God to work. We're going to have an invitation here in a minute.